Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hope everybody's doing great today. Praise the Lord. I'd like to start off with Happy Birthday, USA.
Amen.
This is the Friday before the 4th of July, and 241 years ago, a group of men took their lives in their own hands. They would have certainly been hung or shot by the king if they had failed and signed a Declaration of Independence, which gives us the ability to be here tonight praising God. Amen. You know, I have a gentleman I know, and he's from England, and his father, of course, is from England. And every year on the 4th of July, he takes the British flag and puts it at half mast because he's. It's interesting to me how the devil attacks words. We know that he comes to steal the word of God, but he's also attacking the words of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence. There's a lot of misnomers out there, and being the history person that I am, I'm really challenged by what goes on, what they're teaching in schools today. For example, many people know Patrick Henry's famous quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." But what they teach in schools is, Patrick Henry saying, "I know not what course others might take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Mm. Almost nobody knows the two words before that. Before that is, "Almighty God, I know not what course others might take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." These men believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were brought here for a particular reason, for such a time as this. And they formed this country. Now, one of the not so well-known founding fathers is a gentleman named Dr. Benjamin Rush. And he wrote a pamphlet for the schools at the time. And originally, all the schools, the book they taught was the Bible. And his decree was that certainly Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and that proportion as mankind adopts its principles and obey its precincts, they will be wise and happy. That a better knowledge of this religion is to be acquired by reading the Bible than in any other way. The Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present state than any other book in the world. That knowledge is the most durable and religious instruction most useful, especially when imparted early in life. That the Bible, when not read in schools, is seldom read in any subsequent period of life. This man 200 plus years ago saw the problems we have in our schools today, as they've taken God out of our schools. And that challenges me a little bit, because I asked God why that was allowed to happen. He says, "Well, I couldn't go against their free will." And then God told me a but. I told a lot of people to form Christian schools, but they thought it was too expensive, and they didn't do it. And he said, "I would have paid to have all those children know my word." So there are a lot of people out there that didn't hear the voice of God, and we're getting more into that a little bit later on. But the bottom line is, this country's struggling today because there's not enough people who don't hear the voice of God. I've heard people say this is no longer a Christian nation. I'm not going to decree that over this nation. I'm still going to call it a Christian nation, because as I speak it forth, more and more people are going to get saved. Amen. As we continue to speak that forth, that this is still a Christian nation based on Christian valuables, the Christians are going to rise up and start saying, "You know, enough is enough. We need to teach the word of God." And when somebody tries to quiet them down, they're going to say, "No, I've got my freedom of speech too. And I will speak the word of God anywhere, anytime I please." And that's going to be coming forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. The title for tonight, although it has nothing to do with the United States, is Finish Your Healing, Parts 1 and 2. And the reason it's 1 and 2 is because I started this a couple Fridays ago at the shorter service, the 6 o'clock service, and there was so much more to give, and some people didn't hear it. I wanted to put it all together into one, and the Lord said, "Do it." Now, my only problem is pastor's limiting me to 4 hours tonight, so. But I'm going to go back and start on the Bible itself first. Now, there's an atheist scientist, And he wasn't atheist because he didn't believe in God, but he was never taught about God. But as a young boy, he was determined. He knew, asked questions about the sun and why was it hot. And he determined at a very early age he was going to be an astrophysicist. He probably didn't know what it was, but that's what he wanted to do, was study the stars and things like that. So as he got looking at this, he had to believe that it couldn't be done just by chance. There's too many things that happen. The perfect alignment of all the stars, the way the gravitational pull and not pull of different things, couldn't just happen. That just didn't work for his mind. So he started researching God. And he went through Buddhism, and he went through Hinduism, and he went through Taoism, and he went through this and that and everything. And the last one he found was Christianity. Now, it's interesting because when he was in seventh grade, the Gideons came in and gave him a Gideon Bible that he just put on the shelf and didn't think much about it. But when he was in high school, he studied Shakespeare. And in studying Shakespeare, he learned Old English. So when he read the Bible many years later, it actually meant something to him. Most people don't have that ability to really understand the Old English part. So this worked out very, very well for him. But being the scientist that he is, he was impressed by the fact that Moses, some 4,000 plus years ago, wrote down the origin of the world as interpreted by God. Now, Moses, of course, didn't have all the scientific evaluation techniques that we have today. And Moses listed out basically 13 steps to the creation of the world in perfect order, in such a way that it had to follow in that order as he understood it as a scientist. Now, for example, light came before the animals on the earth came that needed light. So it was designed perfectly. But for Moses to have just gotten the 13 steps, even not in correct order, is an astronomical odd of 13 factorial to 1. 13 factorial is 13 times 12 times 11 times 10, all the way down to 1. The number is huge. Man could not do that. It had to be God. To get him in the right order, as Moses did, takes that 13 factorial number to infinity. It just could not have happened. I mean, how could somebody 4,000 years ago write that down in perfect sense? Because he did. Because God led him. And that helped convince this gentleman that this was the one true one to believe in. The other thing that impressed him was that in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, "But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good to that and hold fast." None of the other religions have anywhere in their documents to say test them. Only the Bible. Because God doesn't care if you test him. It doesn't bother him if they try to prove him wrong. He likes it. At least they're looking. At least they're searching. If they're searching, they will find out that he is true. Now, granted, there's some people that have so much pride welled up in themselves, they're not going to accept it. But the bottom line is, the list goes on and on and on of people who have done studies and through their studies have found that this is the one true God. Most famous would be Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Christ. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He was actually a crimes reporter, used to doing detailed reports to find out what the truth was in a crime. And his wife got saved. He wanted to prove her wrong and proved himself right and became saved. And has written many, many books on that. Okay. Now, the title is called Finish for Your Healing. Now, this can be applied to finances. It can be applied to whatever challenge you're going through. But the bottom line is, too many people are not finishing. You know, when David went up against Goliath, he hit him with a stone, then he ran over Goliath, and he took the sword out and finished Goliath off. He didn't give Goliath the chance to get up and get a second shot. That wasn't done. Okay? My dad and I were watching a World War II movie. At the end of the movie, the battle was over, and I noticed that the Allies in the movie were going around and reshooting the dead bodies. And I said, "Dad, why are they doing that?" He says, "You're making sure they're dead. You don't want those guys to come back to consciousness and squeeze off around and hit somebody." I said, "That seems kind of morbid." He said, "But you did it because you had to do it. You had to finish it." Okay? Now, I had a teacher back in college, and she was one of those people who was really upset about the fact that we dropped the atomic bomb on Japan. And as my wife will attest to, I'm not one for holding back. I was taught to speak my mind, you know. So I got up and said, well, would you want my father to have died instead? You know, and we went back and forth like this. And I told her how he would have been one attacking the island of Japan had he not they not dropped the bomb, you know. And she was, horrible. They killed so many lives. I said, they would have lost more lives had they attacked. We're expecting 1 million U.S. casualties, up to 10 million Japanese casualties. And I said last time, my own research of the Japanese people, we didn't take many prisoners. I think they probably would have all committed suicide rather than be taken prisoner. I don't think there'd be a Japan today if we had not dropped the atomic bomb. Now, let me interject with something. I'm not proud of any war thing that we've done. I'm not happy anybody died. And I know we fight against principalities and power of evil, but this is the reality of the situation, and we have to look at the reality of things here when they go forward. Okay? Dropping the bomb finished the war. Once and for all. It was a drag, just did it. And I'm sorry it was tough for him. I'm sorry it was tough. And but it had to be done. We did it. In Deuteronomy 2:24 says, you have to contend with the enemy to win. You are going to be in a battle. We are in a war whether we like it or not. Satan has been on this earth for a long time. He doesn't like us. And you know what? He's not going to stop fighting the people that are destined to bring his kingdom down. It's that simple. So that's why we come here to ABC. Because when people perish for a lack of knowledge, with the knowledge you have here, and you teach that to other people, more people are going to survive the upcoming challenges that are coming forward. Amen? Okay? All right. It also says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you'll never face anything you cannot overcome. So everybody here is going through a challenge. You don't need to raise your hand. I know it. Satan will see to it that we're all going through some kind of a challenge. There's no question about it. Okay? Our job is to overcome that challenge with God. Now, when David went up against Goliath, he says, my God and I will kill the uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't go out in his own right. He humbly went out there with God to do it. And that's where many of us Christians are laying down. Too many of us are starting to say, well, I can do it. Or they're laying back saying, God's going to do it for me. That's not how it works. It's us with God that defeats the enemy. It's the combination of the two together. And you can't rely on God to do it, because God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. For example, when Jesus went to the tomb and says for Lazarus to come out, they rolled the stone away. He could have said, roll the stone away, and use his words. He didn't. They rolled the stone away, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He did what he could do through God. The people still had to do their own part. And many people forget about that. Now, I know we're taught a lot of things here at ABC. I know there's a lot of work to it. I respect that. But you talk to anybody that's been in the military, if that isn't a lot of work getting ready for war. You talk to them how much they train. I used to work out with a Navy SEAL. I worked out at the same time a Navy SEAL worked out the gym I was going to. He was always there before me. He was there way after I left, and he never got tired. He was the most amazing thing. He's burning. And he's still going strong. You know? He was a super nice guy. He really was, because when you're that bad, you don't have to act tough. Now, one of my favorite verses, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's part of our thing. Are we doing enough to resist the devil? Now, a coin has two sides. If you don't resist the devil, he won't flee from you. And that's the problem Christians are having today. They've gotten into complacency. They've gotten to, well, that's just enough. That's good enough. Good enough never is. Okay. I told the story last time. We were dealing with this girl. She was like a spiritual daughter to Karen and I. And she had inoperable brain tumors that were cancerous. I'm still talking to talk about this. And through the prayers and the affirmations we taught her, the tumor shrank by 50%. And then somebody told her she didn't need to do it anymore. And she received that, because who doesn't want to take the easy way out? And no matter how much we tried to convince her, she says, no, it's okay. I understand. I'm already healed by the stripes. I don't have to do that anymore. Are you seeing so many victories? When that lie got into her, she quit doing her work. She's in heaven today. She left behind a small little boy that her parents are now taking care of because she didn't finish the job. I want us all to take time and reflect, what are we not finishing for God that we have to do? Okay? Now, let's get some examples of not finishing something. If a doctor gives somebody a prescription for an antibiotic and he stops one day short, all that regime is wasted because those eggs that are left will rehatch and they'll be stronger and harder to get out the next time. You've got to finish the job. You got to push through to the mark until it is done and completed and you've run your race. I know there's challenges. You know, we as a nation, we never lost a war up through World War II. We won them all. We were great. By the way, Japan had never lost a war until they ran into us. And that's why they respect us so much, because they'd never been beaten. They beat China. They beat Russia. They beat formidable foes. They were a world power to be seriously reckoned with. And most people don't realize how strong they were at the start of World War II. They were awesome. They were well trained. They had fought a war of attrition for over a decade. I forget the exact number of years. I have to look it up again. They were well trained. Okay. We were world power. And then we go to Korea. We don't finish it. What's happened today in Korea? That unfinished part of Korea has a challenging person leading it that's threatening nuclear annihilation that doesn't really care. Because he's so demonized, he don't care. We don't know what he's capable of doing. We didn't finish it. We didn't finish Vietnam. We won every battle in Vietnam. The enemy was on the ropes, and because of political pressure here, we pulled out. We didn't finish Iraq. And because we pulled out of Iraq, ISIS got a foothold. And when ISIS got a foothold, they got all the left behind munitions, the weapons, and the gold and the oil that was in that country. And now they are financed because we didn't finish the job. What would happen if Noah wouldn't have finished the ark? We wouldn't be here. God called a day for it to rain. It was going to rain. If Noah didn't do his job, he would have started again with another group or something. But we would not be here today. What if Jesus didn't finish his way to the cross? And he fell three times. What if on the second time he said, "That's enough. I'm done. I'm done. That's enough. No. And it's no problem because when Jesus couldn't do it himself anymore, God brought along somebody to help him. And when you're challenged to the point where you can't really do it, there's somebody God will bring into your life to help you get that job done. Because whatever job God calls for is the most important thing. And Jesus went to the cross. Because he went to the cross, we get to go to heaven. And we get to meet him when he starts his advance back down here on earth. And we get to come back with him. And we'll be alive and remaining until Jesus returns. If you do not finish your spiritual warfare, you may not see the completion of your healing, and the results may be catastrophic. You cannot leave those demons in there to do an attack and continue, because they will work and work and work. They'll work on your mind. They'll work on your body. They'll do whatever they can do because they hate you. They hate you because you're Christian. They hate you because you love the God that they've rejected. And they can't go back. Now, I don't know what the deal was when God decided they couldn't go back, but at this point, they cannot go back, and they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Okay, they don't have a choice in the matter, and they hate you. And their goal is to take as many people as they can with them. And our job is to stop them from taking as many people as they can with them. Okay? Now, the Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. Now, at the first part of this teaching, I talked about how mathematically proven the Word of God is. That if in the first chapter of Genesis, you get out to a factor that we cannot figure out, I can't even pronounce the number, it's so large, of how accurate it is, tells us that that's the true Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that we can say the Word of God over any challenges in our life. Okay? It's more powerful than the atom bomb. It's the most effective tool to defeat the enemy. Do not have mercy on the devil. He will not have mercy on you. I remember watching a show one time, and this guy is playing Satan, and he convinces this girl to do something for him. And when she does it, then he doesn't reward her. She goes, "But I did what I said I would do." And he goes, "I'm Satan. What part of anything you've ever read thinks I will keep my word?" He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a trickster. And he will use anybody he can to pull us down. Okay? We don't quit halfway through. We don't stop. We must finish the job. We must affirm with boldness the power that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus until you see victory, or whatever your challenge is. Okay? And I asked God, I said, "God," and this came today, by the way, so it's not in your outline, so you're going to have to take some notes or get a copy of the CD. I says, "I don't understand why so many people quit." And he said, "Because Satan's very good at getting people busy. And busy is an acronym we use here for being under Satan's yoke." I like acronyms. I really. Can somebody explain something to me, though? How come acronym is one of the biggest words in the English language? It's designed to shorten things up. Acronyms and abbreviations are two of the biggest words in the English language. I just think that's funny to me. But anyway. Okay. My acronym is FOCUS. Follow on with Christ until success. Okay? And too many people don't follow on with Christ. They quit. They get lazy. They get distracted. They get pulled away. Yeah. The Lakers are playing, or something else is on TV, or turn the TV off. Okay. And he told me, he says, "Discipline plus consistency plus patience equals success." We live in a microwave world today. And if you don't get your success fast enough, they quit and go run into something else. Too many people do that. We need to focus and push on toward the mark. Okay? Now, Nicholas here just graduated from Cornell. Nicholas, congratulations. I'm happy for you. Do you know why Nicholas graduated from Cornell? Because he did what the 1% would do who want to graduate. And the 99% who didn't do it didn't graduate. And that's the bottom line. You've heard about the 1%, 90%? The 1% are doing what they need to do. They're working, they're doing things, they're doing it right, they're studying, they're doing what they need to do. They're preparing, they're trying, you know, they're lining things up. Okay? The best way to stop Satan from being so distracting to you and making you so busy or being under Satan's yoke is to spend time with God. And when I first heard this, I thought, that's unbelievable because I'm so busy now and so forth and so on. You know? So he explained to me, he says, set an appointment with God and keep it. And I remember many years ago, I met Pastor Bill Winston from Chicago, who's a fabulous man of God. And he started with nothing. And now he's got a mega church with 35,000 or more. And churches all over the world, and he flies here on his private jet and so forth. And he told me he has an appointment with God every day at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've been with him where he's been at 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, "I got to go get some sleep before my appointment with God." Now he will get up and pray and spend time with God at 4 o'clock and then maybe go back and take a nap. But his time with God is set. He keeps his appointment. That's the most important time of his life. Now, I'm a morning person, so that's great for me. You got to do it on the time that's best for you. If you're not a morning person, and for some reason somebody's a little cranky in the morning, set a time when you're at your best. You want to be at your best before God, okay? Now, God has an open calendar. He can move you anytime you want to. But when you set that appointment, you keep it. Now, it's very important to prepare a place for him, you know. Sometimes I talk to him when I'm driving to work because I go in early because I work off the New York time zones. And that's great because it's quiet out and there's no problem and I can really hear him. And Karen says, "Well, what's your seat like?" Because I got my briefcase and things in there. So where's he supposed to sit? Good point, dear. You got to listen to those wives. They give them to you for a reason, you know. So I do. I clear out my seat so that when God is talking to me, he's going to be as comfortable as he can. Now, I want to give you an analogy of something here. And I know there's some controversy over the person. I want you to look at the situation and forget about the people I'm going to talk about. All right? When Donald Trump, President Trump, went to Saudi Arabia and that plane landed, they rolled out a red carpet a mile long. They had color guards up and down. They honored this man with so much. The king of Saudi Arabia, as old as he was, got out to meet him personally on the tarmac. They prepared for this man to come. Forget that. Prepare for your God to come. Do the best you can. Say, God, I want you here. I know, and he doesn't expect to have a red carpet, but if you do the best you can, he'll respect that. But prepare for him to come. Turn off your cell phone. Turn off your radio. Turn off your TV or computer. Turn whatever it is off. I don't care. Now, today, I went in my conference room at my office and just shut everything down and spent a few minutes just listening to God. And that's where he filled me in with this today. I had to have peace and quiet. You know, God doesn't often talk loud. He talks in whispers sometimes. You'll be able to hear him. And you can't be distracted. And, you know, I want to be able to give him my full attention. I only had 15 minutes today. And he honored that. I hope to have more. But whatever it is, I have a time I'm going to set up for God, and we have to be there for him. Okay? And you keep that appointment. I don't care what happens. God will stop anything from coming between you and him. The devil will try to distract you. Your job is to say, that doesn't matter. I'm going to meet with God first, because God will take care of it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, number two. When you're in your private place, be still and worship. Exodus 14:13. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will bring. And 2 Chronicles 20:17 and then 21. Take your position and stand firm. And Jehoshaphat appointed the men to sing to the Lord and praise him as they went ahead of the army. Do your praise and worship out there. Send those praises out before you. You know, praise and worship, let me phrase it this way. If I had a 50 caliber machine gun, it wouldn't bother the demons at all, because that doesn't hurt them. Okay? Praise and worship hurts them. You send praise and worship out in front of you, and those demons are going to start scattering, because they don't like that. Okay? Number three, pray and read. Mark 1:34. Jesus went to a solitary place and prayed. That's what I'm telling everybody to do. Now, I love my wife. We do a lot of praying together. This is time for us to be apart and hear from God. It's not time for us to talk about things. It's time for us to be apart, pray, hear from God. And then get a journal. Listen and write it down. Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision down. As God is telling you things, it'll come so fast, you won't believe it. You need to write it down. And save it. Now, the Word of God is rare. And rare means valuable, precious, and in limited supply. Do not take God's voice for granted. Set a time and a place for him. Now, when you do this, when you set that time and a place for God, he will line up everything so that you are able to finish your race. He will tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, so that you won't be distracted by all the things of the world. Now, we live in L.A. here. I know some people on the other nations and so forth. It's a very busy place. There's always something going on here. But you set that time for God, listen and pray, praise and worship, write down what he tells you. And don't worry that it's not perfect the first few times, but just like anything you've learned to do, it'll get better as you practice it. And take heed to his word. It is the most valuable thing in the world. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you all.